I'm Marilyn McCarney. Betsy Payette and I are interviewing personnel who were or are instrumental in developing Renfrew Museum and Park. Today is July 14, 1992, and we are interviewing Shirley Baker, who is currently Director of Visitor Services.
I came here to Renfrew as a volunteer interpreter in 1982. I had read a brief article in the local newspaper and thought, oh, if I can make our area popular and a special place for just one guest, well, then it would be worth volunteering. My first initial contact would have been with Ellie Miller, who was the coordinator for the Interpretive Corps at that time, a very gracious and lovely person. Gave that warmth and welcoming feel to, I think, every one of the people that she connected with and things like that. And she became very influential in keeping her volunteer corps together. I continued to volunteer for 2 years, and by reading the local newspaper, realized that they had need of an assistant here at Renfrew and things like that, and it did not really register, and was approached by the curator at that time, Jim Koenig, and he asked me if I was aware of it, and of course I assured him that I was, and he asked me if I would consider working with him. With great hesitation, I obliged. And in 1984 was hired as a part-time, and I really forget what the position was, what they called it at that time. I've gone through any number of titles. Would not have accepted if it wouldn't have been for Jim Koenig encouraging. He felt that we could work well together and that it would be good for Renfrew, and hopefully it proved that he was true. Formerly, before coming to Renfrew, I was a proofreader working for Doubleday, correcting book galleys before they were made into books and that type of thing, and had held that position for well over 2 years and things like that. Did not exactly have either a public relations background or a museum background, except for my studies relevant to becoming a volunteer interpreter. Have enhanced both areas much since coming to Renfrew. I was very hesitant that I would be able to do as adequately as Jim insinuated that I could and things like that. What the rascal didn't tell me at the time of the hiring was that he planned on getting married and going off on a honeymoon 2 weeks later. And 3 days before he was going to do that, he told me that I had to know all security systems, that I would be the charge person. You can imagine the dismay. I told him, I assured him I could not do it. He said, you can and you will, because I'm not on call. And he proved right once again. I won't say that I didn't scamper over to Mr. Miller on occasion and ask a question. That I did, but however, with his guidance and with the background encouragement and knowing that I wanted Jim to feel good when he came back from that honeymoon, why, it moved right along rather smoothly. When I first came into the position at Renfrew and things like that, had great misgivings about my talents and abilities, and also about the overall feel for Renfrew. I had no doubt that Renfrew itself it's a beautiful place, and that it would succeed. I wasn't sure that it would prosper. With the combination of peoples that was on core at that time. But I made up my mind I was going to give it my best shot. And apparently, I still continue those feelings until today. Renfrew is a quality place. And I feel that I'm very privileged when I'm working with those young people that come in for my classes to tell them that this is not my museum, it's not your museum, it's ours. And hopefully, if I can reach just one of those children that will be willing to come in here in a future generation and do what the people that are currently now doing, then it's very positive. When I first started in here, the very first day on the job, I guess I'll recollect that until the last day on this job and probably long after that, had the type of board minutes and agenda. Now, you have to remember that this is something that goes down on permanent record. And for a greenhorn just coming in the door, that looked like an awesome job. And still today do the majority of the tours and things like that. We have, I have increased the interpretive corps to double what it was when I came here and things like that. But these are quality, busy people. And if I have a group who wants to come on tour and it's not a huge group and things like that, why, I'm not disconcerted to proceed to give the tour myself. Now, if they become, the tours become too large, well then indeed, I will call in one of the volunteers, and they're very good about coming. And lately, within the last year, we've been having any number of bus tours. I've been working with the Franklin County, the Cumberland Valley Visitors Council to bring bus tours in here, and it has been working. And of course, there's no way that one person can adequately handle a bus tour and things like that. So those good people are very agreeable to coming in and giving their assistance. Today, I mount exhibits, and it's fun. It's a challenge to make contacts with all the people who might loan their quality items, to research the history on it, to place that display, and then be able to have the time to type up all the information you've accumulated, because you certainly want your interpretive corps to be knowledgeable about it so that your guests will take away an appreciation for what they've seen at this facility and things like that. Programs, do most of the programming for the museum, and the challenge there is I've been told that it has to have some context on some facet of Renfrew, which is limiting. And so all programs have to be a teaching device. And sometimes I've heard of some fun programs that I thought would be wonderful for Renfrew, but they have nothing to do with Renfrew, so unfortunately I've had to turn them away and things like that. James Smith and I together started the Spring Fest, which is a well-known program, probably interstate-wide now because we have the publicity to go with it. The Spring Fest program is another one with strict rules where what we hope to accomplish is an educational and fun weekend for our guests. So we pull in those demonstrations that have some facet on early America and what our ancestors did to provide for their living or their lifestyle. And truly can be a challenge to both the staff and to those who are participating in that event. Also, the Christmas program has been an ongoing program since the first year of Renfrew, really. I do feel that we've grown tremendously With the Christmas program, it is my understanding that formerly they had one musical presentation in the visitor center and one in the museum. We have now expanded from one day to 2 days, and we've also expanded from one musical presentation in the visitor center. We now have at least 3 different sets of musical presentation there, and within the museum, we have the Wandering Troubadour, we have the Hammered Dulcimer, we have the Celtic Harpist, and we have the harpsichord and the flutes. So greatly have increased our entertainment for the season. And the wonderful garden clubs, who have always done a beautiful job, about 3 years ago, I think they grew a bit weary of the concept of just early American Christmas, which is rather ironic in that realistically, we know that within the museum's time period, the Germans did not decorate elaborately, so we're certainly not in keeping with what our ancestors would have done. Although the Germans did appreciate Christmas, they did not have the elaborate decorations of the Victorian time period on and things like that. About 4 years ago, the Garden Club asked the board, by way of myself, whether they could develop a theme and work from a theme. And also, this is an educational and learning tool also. This year, in fact, they will be decorating using the theme an international Christmas. And it will be quite a challenge to them, but I'm sure they're up to the project and things like that. They do a beautiful job. Just happened to think that in future, somebody might be wondering about my wording on Spring Fest. Some of the demonstrations, like the pottery, it's very difficult to find someone with the talent to use the old-time kick wheel. And Renfrew is very fortunate, and Waynesboro is very fortunate to have somebody wonderful like Mr. Bob Ingalls, health permitting and things like that. And also, a matter of his own personal schedule and things like that. He has the talent to do this. Most potters of today use electrical devices, and so they're not as apropos for Renfrew as that. We also have individuals coming in that does weaving and hooking, rug hooking, and soap making, and of course I do, always one day I do an open hearth cooking demo. Since I started that several years back. All different types. Oh, herbs! From the selling of herbs, but also then how to make herbal wreaths, which would have been popular in early America, to the herbal vinegars and soaps and that type of thing. So you see, it needs to be of an educational nature, what we present at the Spring Fest. I might also say that I will be going into my 7th annual Open Heart Thanksgiving, something that has been so popular within the last 3 years that although there is a fee connected with it and things like that, it is filled up without advertising. I don't know if we'll need to advertise this year or not. We haven't gotten that far along into our season and things like that. But is very, very popular, limited to a maximum of 15 people and things like that. I tease them. I tell them they come in strangers and leave friends because it's a 3-hour seminar of teaching, cooking, learning, sharing with that fire in the hearth. And fortunately, the weather's been very cooperative in the past, and it's been with a nip in the air and things like that, and so that a bit of warmth from the fireplace is very welcome and things like that. Although it's a very taxing and tiring day for me and things like that, I'm usually delighted that the end of the day has arrived and things like that. It's also one that you feel that you've accomplished something.
Shirley, could you tell us where you do your open hearth demonstrations and cooking, and how you learned to do this?
Well, Betsy, The annual Open Hearth Thanksgiving that I've been referring to is always held in the kitchen of the museum, which I think gives it a uniqueness and a rare opportunity for the guests coming in. I think that attributes to its popularity. I might say the food is rather tasty also, though. Other food presentations that I do, my affiliation with the Institute and teaching the students, and also the other adult one that I do annually is the German food emphasis is always in the smokehouse of Renfrew. The one that I do in the kitchen is geared toward adults. Now that's not saying that we're going to toss those young guests out the door, but after all, they have so many more opportunities than the adults do that we like to maintain that for the adults. And the other interesting thing that you may find, Betsy, is that last year and again this year, Renfrew has always wanted to work in conjunction with the Waynesboro area and something for the cancer auction. And so we have given two of the spaces at the annual Open Hearth Thanksgiving for bidding processes, and indeed they have been and are already registered for this year, and the person that purchased it last year also came and enjoyed the program immensely. So it is good for the community in that way also. Training for the open hearth cooking, well, you ladies will probably enjoy this. When James Smith first came on board, he saw many areas for enhancement at Renfrew to make it more for the public and things like that. And formerly, his office was adjoining mine. And he called out to me one day and said, Shirley, you seem to love the kitchen. What do you think about teaching how to cook on the hearth? And I said, you have to be kidding. I said, I've never even cooked in a camp, much less on the open hearth. No way. And he said, well, if we get you training, would you do it? I said, oh, sure. Now, where are you going to get me training? He said, we'll take care of that. Well, he certainly followed through with that. That was about April or May, come June. What I didn't know, and I don't know if he did know about it or if it just nicely came my way of the mail, but of course, the Pennsylvania Farm Museum in Landis Valley, they have a wonderful training session in many, many different facets. It's a seminar that you yourself could go in and register for, depending on where your interests lie and things like that, and I went down there for training first, and well, you have to appreciate. I wondered what my big mouth had gotten me into. I truly was very intimidated by the thought and shared that with some of the interpreters of Renfrew. Not only am I kind of the director of the Corps, but also we have some good friendships, I believe, within the Corps and things like that. So felt comfortable sharing these hesitations with them and things like that. And from a most unexpected area, a lady who had been a long time interpreter of Renfrew, and I just wasn't sure what she thought of this new sprout on the block, took the time to call me up after she had heard this great hesitation and said, Shirley, I know you have doubts. Why don't I agree to go along with you at my own expense? And she said, just to give moral support. And that woman happened to be Nancy Mattern. And of course, we've lost Nancy since then, but there's some very friendly ghosts down in that smokehouse, because quite often several ladies come to mind that were very supportive of the whole idea and things like that. Another would be Mrs. John Tunison of Fairfield. And her area was, she was a home economist for many long years and things like that, but highly approved of what Renfrew was striving to do. And from Landis Valley training, I then took it upon myself at my own expense. I went up to Old Sturbridge Village in Massachusetts and studied with those good folk. Southern hospitality, northbound all the way. Great people, if you want to know something about many diverse fields of the museum. contact them. They're just warm and will go out of their way to accommodate and things like that. Went to some very small seminars at various spots, including North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, and then the other big in-depth comprehensive course I had on Open Hearth was by way of Renfrew in Long Island, New York, and things like that. I studied with the New York culinary historian and things like that, and still a little bit dismayed that it's not unusual for the phone to ring, and I'm considered one of the ones that have the greater foundation for these hearth processes now, and I'm quite often called on to give seminars and programs. I have traveled for several years down to West Virginia. I've gone down to Washington, D.C. and things like that. So thanks to Renfrew, I've come a long way in that area. I guess something else that I should perhaps elaborate a bit on is the dinner at the Thanksgiving Open Hearth, always using that reproduction reflector oven, certainly, and I tell every one of our guests coming in that it is a reproduction. We don't want to mislead or misguide any of our guests and things like that. The participants are delightfully surprised that I can roast a turkey in the same amount of time that they can in their electric oven. Also, we then, of course, we have the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the green beans, and of course I bake either an apple pie or a pumpkin pie in the Dutch oven and things like that. We always have a first course of soup and things like that, and then there's the pickled eggs and the pickled beets and the breads and the jellies and the slaws, and oh yes, every year I strive to find a new unusual beverage, new, unusual, and very old. And appreciating this is for adults only and things like that. We've had syllabob, we've had a switchel, we've had all these unusual drinks. Last year it was raspberry shrub and things like that. And we try all these. And of course we have the lemonades and the other beverages for our main beverage. But of course it's kind of fun to try these new and different things. And there's always, I might mention, my interpreters would disapprove if I didn't say we always have the creamed bacon and onion dish. They decided, can you believe that this is so popular that I have certain members of the interpretive corps that would be highly offended if I pulled anybody else in? They are my trotters for my water and for cleaning dishes and things like that. But they love it so much that the one gal will have been with me for 7 years, as long as I've been doing it. That's how enthusiastic she is about it. And believe me, they're weary at the end of the day, carting dishes down and washing them or carrying water up or whatever. And the other gal has helped me now for 3 years, and she also would be offended if she was not invited in. So you can see the warmth and just the strong feel for this program. And of course, I'm always dressed in that, what I call my goofy getup. What happened when they first asked me to start teaching historic food ways, we felt that the, number one, for safety reasons, and number two, for the overall to, I suppose, grab that student coming in, would to be to wear the garb of our early ancestors. So a lot of research and a lot of context, and I'm still friends with several of those ladies today. You have to appreciate that I despise sewing, and I'm not a seamstress and things like that, but I started the research, what the early German lady would have worn and things like that, and certainly had help from like Kathy Reynolds, who makes historic clothing and things like that. And traditionally I go down to events and things like that. And what I wear is the chemise, which appears from outward appearances to be a blouse, but it's actually a blouse nightgown type thing that the early American ladies wore. And then they wore their bodice over that, and then there's the skirt and the apron, and of course the pocket and the hat. And appearance-wise, it's fascinating, especially to the students. But what I guess I appreciate about it is that certainly there is that safety factor because it is made out of linen, which is a natural material. We know that the Germans planted 1/4 acre of flax per family member, and hopefully the crop was good, and then you would get your 1 set of clothing per year. So we know that we are authentic in that area and things like that. And of course, the natural materials do not burn not nearly so quickly or catch fire as quickly as the synthetic materials. Another touch on humor, I visited the 1840s house in Baltimore, and there they have a black lady who also demonstrates. She does not teach classes as I do, and they do not have hands-on as I do, but they do have the demonstrations of open hearth. And when she found out, she called me scrawny, a scrawny person like me, she was rather substantial, taught open hearth and things like that. She said, "Do you ever have a problem with your apron burning?" And she had quite a few charred marks in her apron. I had not up until that time. It would have been probably within a week and a half to 2 weeks after my visit with that charming lady. I couldn't believe it. I was down teaching in the smokehouse, and I had actually been pulling the charcoal out so the children could make their toothpaste, which dates from the 1700s, and here I had dropped one of the hot coals on my apron, and lo and behold, it had a burn mark in it. And every time I look at that apron, I have to laugh. I don't know if that was willed on me or not. I did return down there for a visit. She did remember me. She did ask, and I fessed up that I had a char mark in my apron. I've been asked, what is my favorite facet? What do I enjoy doing at Renfrew? I enjoy challenges. I guess that's the reason this butterfly spirit in me has been at Renfrew for this long. But my very favorite, I think, is when I hear that doorbell ringing, and I might be in the midst of a conversation on the phone or whatever, and ask them to have patience with me. I'll return call, go down and answer it, and it will be an out-of-town guest who does not have the opportunity to visit us on our hours that we advertise open, and they'll say, "Would you please share that with me?" And I'll say to them, "Give me 5 minutes to turn the lights on." After all, Renfrew is quality, and I feel that that's my main purpose here, is to share this museum with those people who are interested enough to come and visit, and hopefully give them a quality tour and things like that, and I enjoyed that immensely. Some of the ways that my life has been enriched by Renfrew, of course, coming from a proofreading background, now I did have languages and things like that. The next segment of training, I suppose, that I received was Mr. Lloyd Hamburger, our borough manager. The decision came from the government that they had to have somebody on borough staff that had the ability to have manual language. And so I was the one selected to do training because of Renfrew being in the public eye and public relations image and things like that. I have certification in manual language, and since that time I also have certification in fundraising, because that's important for all nonprofit organizations. Also, I've had many seminars and training in how to write press releases, how to deal with public. I've had hundreds of hours of training in how to deal with our temperamental public and the diverse personalities, also on how to place exhibits. I would be one of the very first peoples to say that my life has greatly changed, been enriched with my association with Renfrew, both in educational background and in the wonderful, wonderful peoples I've met, from the local core of talented peoples to programming and the talents of those peoples that we've pulled in from all areas across the United States. Also, when we first started to establish and thinking about the Institute and things like that, James asked me to connect with other museums who had educational programs and things like that. I visited many across the United States, and a lot that I didn't visit, I visited by phone and things like that. I can't imagine what Renfrew's bill was for one telephone call to Brownsville, Texas. That lady was so enthusiastic about their teaching processes and things like that, that we talked for 4 hours on the phone. And she gave me quality information and things like that, and then proceeded to send it in by package and things like that, so that we could actually see what she had discussed with me and things like that. But James was kind enough to ask me to be one of the first to receive this and gain this kind of information. Another something that you may find interesting in placing the exhibits, if you can appreciate, I've always loved magazines and things like that, and when I decided on the lace exhibit and things like that, I did not know this lady at all. Please believe me, I read her name in the Victoria magazine and proceeded to call her because I understood that she knew how to make lace and things like that. A lovely lady from Mercer Island, Washington, that is state of Washington, ladies and things like that. Talked with her for many long hours. She is Danish all the way. If you can appreciate that her teachers who taught her were indeed 96 and 98 years old and things like that, and devoted many long months exclusively to Ruth and things like that. And Ruth did not know Renfrew, did not know Shirley. But after talking with her and asking her questions to enhance my knowledge, so indeed I could pass it along to others and things like that, this wonderful lady packed up many of her lace items, antique and modern bobbins, labeled everything, a huge box of it, and sent it in. I did not ask her to do this, but she trusted Renfrew and me to do this. And of course was well remarked and very much a part of the lace exhibit. And then the one thing that I could do for her, or Renfrew could do for her, British slides are oversized, and she had a slide in that box of her presenting a kerchief, a lace-made kerchief, to the King and Queen of Denmark. So I went to a local photographer here in Waynesboro, and Renfrew, he did us a great service. He had to go quite a distance to find somebody who was able to enlarge this slide. And after it was enlarged, then Willard Ron, the president of Renfrew Board, makes beautiful frames for pictures. He made me a shadow box frame for this. And while this exhibit was on, I placed it above the articles that Ruth had made and did not tell her about it. When I packed up her things to return them to her at the end of the exhibit, of course I wrapped that picture and placed it in as a thank you gift and appreciation and things like that. Well, the irony of it was, when it arrived in Mercer Island, she was very ill, but she asked her husband to examine it. And of course I had placed picture frames and glass do not bend, so it was a very first thing that he unwrapped. And she very much wanted her husband to call me up and to thank me profusely and things like that. So a part of Renfrew indeed is on the other side of our country, in Mercer Island, Washington. Have I met wonderful people through Renfrew? Certainly.